week we saw in chapter 12 that you don't have to have an extraordinary gift to help a church. And we saw the number of gifts that are mentioned in chapter 12, which I'd like to read them again. We have different gifts, chapter 12, verse 9. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith, or with your faith. If it is serving at the church, helping out with the communion table, because the communion table doesn't appear suddenly. No, there's a couple, many couples that come prepared, and when the leader of the service comes, or where when the stewards and everybody comes, they just come and be up, and they come after the service and they take it out. Also, counting the money, you know, that's very important. After the service, we have two people for years and years. They don't rush like some of us do to the hall to have coffee and talk and chat. No, they stay here and make sure that the money is correct, so the person who takes the money to the bank doesn't have to count it again. And that's why they always come late, and sometimes you miss good food, yeah? Sometimes they miss good food because they want to serve the church counting money. So, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Some of us have the privilege to go to Bible college or theological college and we can teach, but others also have taken time in their own lives to study more in-depth scripture and then have a Bible study group at home. It takes time because it's time that you can sit down, because these people usually work. They can sit down, watch a movie, relax. No, they have to leave the wife or leave the kids and go to the room and study and read a book. And yes, it bothers. Sometimes wives say, why are you doing this? Oh, because I like to teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. And encouragement this today is a vital thing, because we live in a society that had suffered from depression. And Sister Eliana, you know that because she works in counseling. A lot of depression. So if you have encouragement, if you have been encouraged, encourage others. Don't keep it to yourself. Encourage others here at the church, also outside. If it is giving, then give generously. We saw today about a few. If you can give $10 for a few, but give $10 for a few. You saw what they're doing. And also, thank you. Actually, thank you. Our church has no issues with that. Our church is very generous. We are a church that's been blessed, and all of you give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And I saw your notes, David notes, he has items under headings. I saw him today. I said, what? He's very diligent. He's leading. I'm not like that. I just have no headings, and 8-9 headings, and that's it. But he has, so he's diligently. So let me commend David. Yes, David. But if also those who play the piano. So he asked me 2 weeks before, so what are you preaching? I said, yeah, but it's 2 weeks away. No, but I want to know. So diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Those are gifts, to show mercy. Okay, I'll have mercy on you. Tell me what you want. Sometimes we're like that. Okay, tell me what you want. Now, you have to have a smile. And sometimes, you know, sometimes those things don't come automatically. And like, I know I always go back to this, but the best school for me has been my marriage. For many years, I was telling my kids, "This is I'm gonna tell you an embarrassment that I always remember this with guilt in me. I had some friends that they always would put down my wife in front of me, and I would always stay quiet. For many years that happened. And I remember one day, I think David was born. Yes. So that, this is like 19 years ago, 18 years ago, because David turned one. I remember. And after the party, they started talking bad things about my wife from me, and I said, "You come here, my wife cooks for you," because they used to come like weekly just to visit. My wife cooks for you. My wife does all these things for you, and you talk. I say in a Spanish word, it's not a bad word, but it's very bad. and they're from my country, so how dare you? And you know what I did? Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Because I wanted to be right with them, but no, I have to be right with my wife above everybody else. So it's not, that took me a long time to learn. Hopefully it doesn't take you a long time to learn something. maybe your wife will get you out of the house. I don't know. So I was telling my kids, the most important relationship that you have here on earth, apart from Jesus, is your spouse. And it took me a long time to learn. Why? Because nobody told me. Nobody took time to teach me to be a good husband. So it takes time sometimes to learn, to develop all these things. So hopefully here in the church, when we see something going all right, we can say, "Brother, sister, you know, can I encourage you to maybe do this better?" To the young ones who get married, the older ones can, the sisters, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, Chapter 5, the sisters, the elders, he calls them elders, actually, the female elders to guide the younger ones, and also men guide younger men. I didn't have a guide, so nobody wanted to exercise that gift on me. So I have to learn the hard way, kicking people out of my house. And that's the day I said to myself, I became a man, because I stood up for my wife. I stood up for my family. So let's go now to more spiritual things. Chapter 12. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. I wanted to talk a lot about this. I'm just going to touch on this. In Paul's writings, and I preached this like 2 years ago, in Paul's writings, Paul still believed that they were spirits behind idols. And remember in the Old Testament, behind an idol, there's a demon. So Paul is saying that when you were pagan, when you didn't believe in Jesus, so this, he's talking to Gentiles here, Gentiles. Because I want you to remember, they're talking to Gentiles here. You were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. And mute idols is, go back to Psalm 115, it talks about how idols, they have eyes but they don't see, they have mouths but they don't talk, they have feet but they don't walk. So this man is remembering Old Testament. He's just spitting Old Testament all over the place in this chapter. Therefore, I want you to know that no one can speak by the Spirit of God says, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Jesus be cursed. No one. That's the draw line. If they say that, I'll get up, I'll pick him up, get out of the church. You're not speaking in the Spirit of God. That's the draw line. But there's some funny things, because sometimes we humans are weird. I remember I was in a church when I was 14, and then this prophet started saying, son, I'm telling you, help your brother, he's short of money. And then the other prophet started saying, Lord, you know that I'm short of money as well. I cannot help my brother. So they were talking to each other, pretending to speak in tongues or speak in prophecy. To those people, you have to call them in, and you have to tell them, don't play with that Spirit of God. Don't play that God is talking to you. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we can go on this, because remembering the gospel says, Jesus said, no, not everybody who so calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But let's stick to what's going on here. So no one who's pretending to prophesy, pretending to be speaking in the spirit, will say, Jesus be cursed. Number four, there are different kinds of gifts. And this is very important. This is extremely important, my brothers and sisters. You have never seen this in verses 4 to 6. You are seeing the Trinity here. This is a very Trinitarian way of thinking. Because listen, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same what? Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but all of them in everyone, it is the same God. So, Father, Son, Spirit. So this is a Trinitarian text. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For what? To show off that you have a gift? No. For the common good. To edify one another. Not to show off. Remember the gift of giving generously. Remember what Jesus said. Who gave most? The widow? Or those people who are giving lots and lots of money? No, the one that gave all in her heart. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. See, we need wisdom at church. Do we? Do we? Amen. We need wisdom here. We need wisdom. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and when our Pentecostal friends talk about the Spirit, they only talk about certain things, you know, about tongues and prophecy, which is fair enough because they're here. But what about wisdom? We need wisdom how to carry on with our lives, how to carry on with the church, how to think what our church will do in 20, 40 years. We need wisdom. But we need wisdom also how to treat our children, how to deal with our issues today. So pray to the Holy Spirit that He'll give us wisdom. Another, a message of knowledge. And this message of knowledge, I don't want to go into much, but we need to know things at the church. But these are supernatural knowledge as well. Things that we may not see in the text, and the Lord suddenly opens our eyes and changes our lives. So wisdom, knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. Faith. When Josh was going through his treatment, we needed, and he needed faith. All of us needed faith. It was a life or death issue. So we have to pray for faith. Lord, give me faith, because sometimes, oh, certain diseases kill people, certain diseases do this or that. Yeah, but we have to have faith that in this occasion, God will intervene. And he did. So we give thanks to God. To another, by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing. See, faith and healing are very close. Are very close. And the question is always, why doesn't God heal this person, but yet he heals somebody else? My brothers and sisters, I think the gift of wisdom is needed in that occasion, because you never know what God does. We never know. We don't understand. To another, miracles powers. Wow, miracles powers. We don't see them here in Australia. I know that in Brazil, there are a lot of miracle powers, even in Baptist churches. Lutherans don't usually believe in miracles. But I'll always listen to this Lutheran podcast. They're from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They are the most, conservative Lutherans they are. Or some of them, one of them. And they don't teach in the United States, they don't teach about tongues, they don't teach about healings, they don't teach about miracles, because they're Lutherans. But they send missionaries to Madagascar. And you know, yesterday we talked about Africa, because Gwyn was from South Africa, so Madagascar, you know, I like to move it, you know the movie? Madagascar. So, it's not full of monkeys, you know, it has people. So they sent missionaries to Madagascar. And what happened was that they started seeing miracles. People started talking in tongues, and people started being healed, and then the Lutherans didn't know what to do, because God was working among these people. So the Lutherans have opened up a little bit on that, and they say, we don't understand what God is doing, but if God is killing people, if God is putting into people to look more into spiritual things, God is in control. God is working among them. Do you want that in Altona Baptist Church? Amen. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes it's a risky. It's risky. Sometimes risky because you said, okay, Lord, I seek control, you know, and it's like when you're teaching your son or daughter how to drive, and then okay, now you take control, and then you take a leap of faith, yeah? And you go, crack! Oh, okay. They're not going to be perfect the first time. Okay, let's continue. The gift of prophecy. As I said last time, prophecy can be interpreted as something to talk about the future, but also can be interpreted as something like what I'm doing right now, preaching. Preaching, it's a gift. And yesterday somebody told me, thank you, Lewis, for your gift of public speaking. Well, it's a gift, yes. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And we need that. We need that at church. We always need a church, because somebody can come in and they can look like an angel. Again, like the song. Remember the Elvis? That's Elvis, yes. You look like an angel. Dun, 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 dun. Walk like... No, you're not. You're a demon in disguise. Demon in a blue... in a blue dress, yeah? That's another song from the 50s. So we need that at church, and also in our lives. And sometimes, let me ask you, today is Father's Day, who works the gift of discernment more at home? Our wives. I don't like that person. Don't get along with them. Don't get away from them. Why? I just don't have a good feeling about that. No, just like Star Wars, yeah? I have a bad feeling about this person. I have a bad feeling about the business you're going into. So we have to listen sometimes. They see things that we don't. But we need the gift of discernment of between spirits. And also, that's why I wanted to go more into this, but in your time, go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. In your time, you can read there what John says about discerning spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Okay, let me tell you one thing. This is the ever argument. What does speaking in tongues mean? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, do we see that there are different languages? That the Jews came to Pentecost, and then suddenly these Galileans, because you know, if you come to my Bible study or you see the videos and you see my maps, they make fun of me of my maps. It's always laughing because everybody makes fun of my maps and of my drawings when I start drawing. But Judea, where the temple was, is a different section or a different area than Galilee, which is up at north. In the middle, there's Samaria. That's why the Good Samaritan, somebody came from Galilee and saw the men and went up. So they had to go through, somebody wanted to go to Jerusalem. So they came from the top, from Galilee, coming down, they had to go through Jerusalem. So anyway. So Galileans were seen down by the Judeans. So there were the Galileans, the followers of Jesus, in Jerusalem, in Pentecost, and then suddenly they started speaking in tongues from all the Jews that came from all over the empire. And you can read that on your own time, chapter 2 of Acts. And everybody understood. Everybody understood. But that happened only once in the Bible, only in chapter 2. Because then you go to chapter 10, and then you go to chapter 19, the other two times that speaking in tongues happened in the book of Acts, doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. And Peter refers to the prophecy of Joel. When everybody is speaking in tongues, he says, this is what has been prophesied by the prophet in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29. Okay, now let's go to Paul. People usually think that the same is happening in Corinth. No, it's not. Because if you read in chapter 14, in two more chapters, he says, if somebody comes to you and everybody's speaking in tongues, they will say you are what? You're crazy because nobody understands anything. Those are not tongues that are supposed to be understood. That's another day. That's for a teaching class. That's very, very, very long. If you want to see me speaking all about that, there's a three-hour video. It is. There's a three-hour video where I go through the history of this thing, and then I go through the Greek. You can put English subtitles, because that was in Spanish that I did that one. It's funny, because I referring everything to English-speaking books, and yet I'm speaking in Spanish. So, yeah, I did a three-hour video about that. But the point is, speaking in tongues, Paul refers not to Joel. He goes back to a text in Isaiah in chapter 14 to justify that people are speaking in tongues. So Paul has something totally different in mind than what Peter had in mind. So speaking in tongues in Corinth is speaking gibberish. Nobody understands. And that's why he goes on and says, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Somebody needs to interpret. That's why I'm not against speaking in tongues if you have an interpreter. And that's what Paul says. Paul says, 1, 2, and 3, by order, and there's an interpreter, interprets. But if there's not, stay quiet. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one. Yet Yet, just as he determines. That's how he determines. He wants it to you. You can ask for it. Imagine you want the gift of prophecy, but you get the gift of service. Are you going to complain about that? No, because we are getting a gift from God. It doesn't matter what gift you get. What matters is who gave it to you. It's like that. It's like Mother's Day or Father's Day. Okay. Yeah. It's like Father's Day. It doesn't matter what sort of gift they give you, as long as they give you something. What you cherish is that they give you something. But like I always tell my kids, oh, it's a square box. Oh. It smells like this place I like to go, the Apple Store. No, I'm not getting that. They already gave me the gift before coming here. I was preparing this, and then I said, oh, here's your gift. Okay, thank you. Try it on. No, I don't have time. I'll do it after. It doesn't matter. The thing is that they remember us. Yes, Mother's Day too. Even in your birthday, when you receive a gift, when you receive a card, when you receive a call, that is heaps. That means a lot to us. So it happens the same to us for spiritual gifts. It doesn't matter what gift I'm getting, as long as it's from my Lord, as long as it's from my Father, the Father of lights. Okay, to round this up, you know, there was chaos at Corinth. Corinth was chaos. They were living in sin. They were going to see, read chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. They were not that saintly. Read chapter 6. Paul reminds them what sort of sins they were doing before coming to Jesus. And they were not nice sins. Let me just read some of them. Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Imagine that. Imagine Paul writing to these people. You were some of these people. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Another Trinitarian text. Listen. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God is doing great things among us, cleansing us. But why does he give people gifts? And why do we have gifts here? Because as verse 12, just as one body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all, I love this, what he's talking, because when I was reading, I wanted to have more time, but sorry. But we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. In chapter 10, he's talking about baptism. In chapter 10, he mentions that we were all baptized in the same cloud in the desert. He's talking to the Corinthians that they were baptized in the cloud. Where? Where do you remember that happened? In the Exodus. So he's telling the Corinthians, you are as much spiritual Jews as those people who were coming out of Egypt. We are children of God. So he goes on to that, and he mentions that in chapter 12. And then he continues, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Again, in chapter 10, if you go back home and you read chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, you're going to see they all drank from the same rock. And the rock was Christ. So he's going back again to chapter 10. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Yes, Scott, can you give me the next set of verses, please? Okay. Now, we jump a little bit. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Oh, yeah. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. So if somebody here says, no, I don't need you guys, you're still part of us. We are one body. It doesn't matter if you've been here 40, 50, 60 years, or you just arrived. If you're in Christ, you're part of this body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, see, I want this gift. No. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Oh, they don't let me play the piano. Yeah, but we want you to do something else. Please help us in something else. No, but I want to play the piano. In my case, I want to play the bass. But they keep telling me, no, it sounds good if you play the piano better because it fills up the space more. But I like the bass. I like doom, doom, doom. So I don't play the bass here. I have to play the piano whenever I have to play. That sort of thing. It's not what I want. It's what the body needs. Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, wow, horrible, yeah? Imagine a whole body being an eye. Horrible. It would be a horrible thing. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted, as he, not as us, as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body will be a monstrosity. It will be a monstrosity. It will be everybody will be one nose. Imagine a nose. I want to be a nose. Okay, yeah, I don't like my nose. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know, there's always a glass of water under here. I don't know how it gets here, but I know it's going to be here. So I rely on this glass of water when I'm thirsty or running out of breath. I don't know how it gets here. Because somebody thinks of the preacher. And I don't know who does it. But for years it's been like this, since I can remember. Those little things that maybe nobody takes notice makes the church work. Next, Scott, let's finish reading because I run out of time. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together. We needed musicians some time ago. This is an ongoing thing because there was only me and somebody else playing. And then David helped me. And then we kept praying and praying and praying. And more people joined the group. Why? Because God put pieces together. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. No one's more important here than somebody else. No one does a greater thing than somebody else. Everybody does a thing that we need to be done here. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's why I love it when people come to the front and talk about what they've done or the children have done, and we rejoice with them. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You. Each part of us here, body of Christ. And God has placed in the church first. First of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. And you're going to see next week. Next week will be the final sermon I'm going to give about this. He doesn't follow this same order. If you can read ahead, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. He doesn't give that same order. But anyway, so first he has placed of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping. This is a new gift. A gift of helping. Sometimes Fiona needs people to help her in the kitchen. It's a gift when you want to give it, when you want to offer your time, when you want to offer your hands. It's a gift of helping, of guidance. We need guidance. And of different kind of tongues. Our apostles, our prophets, our teachers, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Of course, the answer is no. Now, eagerly, listen. The Lord will give me some gift when he needs to. No. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Ask God to give you a gift. Let's ask the Lord to give you a gift. People come to me and say, brother, do you know what gift God has given to me? What do you desire? What do you desire to do at church? Again, something happens, something he doesn't. I desire to play at church. I desire to play an instrument. My friend was a music teacher. He could never teach me. I could never understand the notes. I could never understand what he was talking about. But one day, in Sydney, 17, I bought by faith a piano, a keyboard. My first pay, well, that's where I spent it. And I brought the keyboard and my auntie said, why are you buying something you don't know how to play it? By faith, I'll learn. That was on a Friday night. Actually, Thursday night, because remember in Sydney, Thursday is the day that they open late. On Sunday, I was playing. Because by faith, I know the Lord doesn't always work like that. But when I was younger, maybe I had more faith. I don't know. But I said, by faith, we need a piano player. And I was playing three notes for each song. But that was enough. And Paul ends up, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And which is the most excellent way? Chapter 13. Love. Yes. You can have all the gifts. You can have all the power. You can have all the charisma. But if you don't have love. Lord, but we prophesy. Lord, but we did this for you. We did this, that for you. Depart from me, evildoers. We don't want that. We want the Lord to tell us, good and faithful servant, enter your rest. So in the meantime, the Lord has given us gifts. And he's giving us gifts. Hey, the shop hasn't closed. It's still open. All you have to do is, Lord, give me a gift. And if you keep coming to church, you're going to find out which gift it is, because you're going to see, oh, they need people to do the table. Oh, I can do that. All of us can wash dishes. Yeah? All of us can do this. Oh, to do the gardening. Oh, I've been doing gardening for a while, I can help Keith, I can help Chris, and all those who work around and Tim. Oh, I can help that. I can do that. Gifts. There are all types of gifts. The Lord will make an occasion, and you just have to eagerly. That's Paul's word, not mine. Eagerly seek your gift. Let us pray.